field. Sometimes we actually keep our sheep at night in the caves. It's a lot easier to protect sheep. Let me tell you something. Sheep, they're stupid. They just, they'll wander off. They, you know, in fact, sheep are really funny this way. They'll just start eating, and they'll literally eat themselves sick. So you got to take them to areas where there is no food. So I actually like it when we would go to the caves, because when we go to the caves, we take the sheep into the caves. That's where, you know, I actually felt the best protected. Now, you know, I'm not like David was. You know, David was really good with the sling. And so if he had, you know, I don't know if he did the sling when he met the lion and the bear. I know he had the sling when he met a Goliath, and he was good with the sling. So I actually, when I decided to become a shepherd, I decided I'm going to become good at the sling. Well, I was more dangerous with that sling with the people who were around me than actually any kind of enemy. So what I did is I just went out and got a dog. And let me tell you something. My dog is a good dog. And this dog would sit by my side, and we'd sit out at the edge of the caves, and we would just watch. And it didn't matter all night, all things, that dog would just watch. Whenever there was a noise, his ears would perk up, and I knew something was taking place, and then I would get the necessary help. But that night, we weren't in a cave. That night, we were just out doing our thing. And, you know, the day shift, because let me tell you something, being a shepherd, it's a 24/7 job. You're constantly being a shepherd. So what we do, some guys would work in the daytime, and then they would sleep at night, and then there were those of us, and I was on the night shift that day. I'd get up and watch the sheep at night. And so we had brought all the sheep into their little herd and their little fold there, and we were watching them and taking care of them. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I mean, just minding my own business, there shows up this being. I don't even know quite how to describe it, because this being was huge. I don't know if you've ever been really, 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 really scared, but I'm telling you what, I've seen a lot of things. I mean, we've experienced the bears, we've experienced the lions, we've experienced that kind of stuff, but I'd never experienced anything like this. In fact, it scared me so bad that I was in this place where literally my jaw, it locked shut. I couldn't say anything. I just stared in amazement, and then all of a sudden I noticed that my body was literally shaking like I was really, really cold. Fear just went to the very core of who I was as a person, because it wasn't like we saw him walking up a long way. It's just all of a sudden, boom, he was there in front of us. And the very first words out of his mouth is he looked at me and he said, "Fear not." Like, well, that's an easy thing just to stop. Look at you. But there were these calming words. You know, growing up as a shepherd, whenever you would go into town, people would make you feel like you were so nothing. They'd have these feelings that you'd walk away with a feeling like you were just a person that meant nothing to this world, and that if you died, no one would ever care. But here was this being that I now know was this angel standing before me, telling me to relax and to calm and to fear not. And then these words come out of his mouth, and it says, "I bring you great news of great joy." Let me tell you something. It's been a long time since great news came to a shepherd. You know, we've gone through a long period in Israel where really the only people who ever seemed to get good news were the religious leaders. And the news that they got were from the Romans, and they would give them their news, and then we get our news, and their news coming to us would seem to just get thrown upon us. But he came to a shepherd. Think of that. Let that sink in just for a moment. He came to a shepherd, and God came and said, "He's got good news." Why would he bring the shepherd? To me, I think about that it's almost like Israel is becoming full circle again. Because in Israel's past, there was a time where the shepherds, it meant something to be a shepherd. I mean, you know, the greats were shepherds. You know, while Moses, he got to live in the palace, he rejected the palace and became a shepherd. And then he led the people out of Egypt. Now, I know that the Egyptians, they didn't like shepherds. Joseph, he really struggled when his brothers came he said, "Don't let them know that we're shepherds." Because the Egyptians, they didn't like shepherds. But you know what? Us Israelites, we were proud shepherds then. And then God raised up the greatest king in Israel's history. And what was his position? He was a shepherd. And there are times in my own life that in the back of my head I think, boy, maybe I wonder if God could do something with me. But he showed up. He sent a citizen from heaven to bring me this good news of great joy. I think in heaven, they look at shepherds just a little bit different than everybody else does. I don't know about you, if you've ever felt like, boy, I hope God looks at me differently than he does it, than the rest of the world looks at me. Because let me tell you something. That moment that that angel showed up in front of me, I felt special. I knew that the God of the universe cared about me. Out in the middle of nowhere. And here's what I learned from all of that. Is that first and foremost, God is a God that will come to you. We weren't able to go to all the religious ceremonies. We were working. We couldn't go to, you know, all the wonderful festivals that went on in Jerusalem. And yeah, I went to the synagogue in Capernaum when I was a kid. But, you know, as you grow up, everybody, the whole thing everybody wants to do is go to Jerusalem. I mean, Jerusalem's the happening place. That's where everybody wants to get to. But I couldn't. I was working. I couldn't just take off and leave. But these angels came to where I was at. And then all of a sudden, all of heaven opened up to me. I've often thought, what if it had just stopped right there? What if my experience of heaven was just a matter of seeing this angelic creature that came and told me this wonderful thing? But it didn't stop there, because then all of a sudden, all of heaven just opened up and began to say with this loud voice and one accompaniment, glory to God in the highest. I had never been in any kind of an experience where all these voices were so enthusiastically praising God. Here's the other cool thing that happened. Is that while God met me where I was at, he didn't want me to stay there. Not that he didn't want me to be a shepherd, because obviously I'm still a shepherd. But what happened is when I experienced this God and he came to where I was at, he said, now I want you to move toward me. Now, I don't know about you, but with that experience, I couldn't help but begin to move toward God. I had to move toward God. Here's the cool thing. God said, here's where you're going to find me. You're going to find me in Bethlehem, in the city of David. Do you get it? The city of the great shepherd David. I think the best shepherd who ever came on the earth was born in that city, and it wasn't David. Because when I got there and I got to see this little baby they had named Jesus, I knew God was bringing Israel back to a place to be shepherded. And this place of shepherding that this great shepherd was going to lead his people, we're going to be into these green pastures by these still waters. You see, one of the things that I know about sheep is sheep, they don't like to get by that running water. And let me tell you something, this is one of the things that makes shepherding really hard. Because if you don't have a place where there's this calm water, that means you got to go to the well and you got to bring it to them. And that's really, you know, that's just really a lot of work. But I think this great shepherd would lead us to a place where we could constantly go to this calm water and get the nourishment that we need. Now, I know what you're thinking. How could you just up and leave the sheep? But let me tell you something. I'm not a hireling. I care about those sheep. Mainly because, not that I love sheep, because, you know, well, sheep are sheep. But I like the owner. The owner, nice guy. His name's Chaim. Chaim never had any kids. It's actually from the tribe of Manasseh. He made his money, not from the sheep, but he made his money from an olive grove that he inherited. See, he was born into money. But he's really a nice guy. Him and his wife never had any kids. But he has a heart that really wants to help people. I know it's hard to imagine, but this Jewish guy that I work for, he donated a lamb to our family Passover. I think that is so cool. You see, it's because of my love for him that I really care for the sheep. He makes it so easy for me to care for those sheep because I know that he cares for me. So what did I do? Me and my buddies, we knew that, well, first of all, that, you know, those who didn't experience this wonderful thing. And oh, by the way, let me tell you something. The weirdest thing happened. When those angels all showed up and my dog was there, do you know my dog didn't freak out? My dog didn't bark at them. My dog didn't react to them. My dog just stayed and was really calm. It's almost like, you know, he knew that everything was okay. Us, on the other hand, we were pretty scared at the beginning. But when they brought those words of great news that was to go to all the people, that would bring joy to our hearts, that all of a sudden there was a calmness that came on me. And I found that while the religious leaders of the day, they bring the condemnation and they bring the, you know, you better be this or you better be that. And, you know, because they know that I can't always get all cleaned up and go to their ceremonial cleanings and all that stuff. But when heaven came to me, heaven just took me the way I was and says, now go experience God. And so what did I have to do? We had to go. So we entrusted God with our sheep, but you know, we also knew there were other guys that didn't get a chance to see heaven like we did. So we headed off and we said, we're going to go see this Jesus. And we went and we found Jesus there in that manger. And it's kind of funny that you know, Jesus, you would think that he would come and it would be kind of like the place where Caesar was at, you know, all beautiful and all the gold and all the majesty. But it, you know, it wasn't. He was in a manger. He's in this place where, you know, I actually fit in because they couldn't smell me. And I was able to go and be able to see this Jesus, the one that all of Israel has been waiting for. I mean, it's been 400 years since there's been a prophet in our country. And now I got to see this Jesus and experience him. It ever changed my life. What happened with me is that I would know I would never, ever be the same. Because when I saw Jesus there, he brought me to this place where I would be able to experience joy. Let me tell you something. Joy is so much different than trying to be happy. I mean, I still try to be happy. I still try to find those wonderful moments. But let me tell you something. When things are going real bad, and one of the sheep gets out, and a wolf gets it, and I got to go talk to Chime, and I don't want to tell him that we lost a sheep. I don't want to tell him. I know he's not going to be happy. But there's something that I can rely on, is that I got an opportunity to experience and see Jesus. And so while my whole world for that day was horrible and bad, there was something in my heart that was so filled with joy that all of a sudden, all that other stuff, losing the sheep, having to go to talk with Chime, not that I liked it, but all of a sudden I was able to deal with it. I could handle it. Why? Because something happened inside of me. Something had changed. Now when I go and I shepherd, I find that way back when I was a kid and I couldn't be a fisherman and I got the opportunity to be a shepherd and I looked and went, you know what, the greats of our past were shepherds. I look at this Jesus and I go, you know what, shepherding's coming back. God just positioned me in this right place. He positioned me in the right place, not that shepherding ever will be this great job for anybody, but he positioned me in the right place that regardless of my career, I can look forward to something greater. I look forward to forever being with God because, you know, if it wasn't for going and seeing Jesus, I would have just had an experience. You know the kind of experience I'm talking about. Maybe you've had one. You know, for me, it's when you have Dove right before you go to bed. And you kind of have this midnight experience. But it wasn't that for us. We experienced heaven, but then we went and got to see God in the flesh, Emmanuel. You see, for us, it's not just a story. For us, we went from a story to actually experiencing the Savior. Which what it did for us is it gave us the story that we had to tell everyone. That God will meet you where you're at. Wherever you're at, whatever you are like, God will meet you right there. But when he meets you, don't stay there. Start going after him. While Jesus is not a baby anymore, I encourage people, wherever I'm at, because, you know, as shepherds, we're moving about. We're in different parts of the country as we move our sheep. But whenever I can get cleaned up like I am today, and I go start talking about people that start searching after Jesus. Because there's just some wisdom in searching after Jesus. I really think wise men probably will go after him. And you know what? People that do that, when I talk to them the next time, they're like, man, it was the greatest experience of my life. Jesus did what no other man has ever done. He must be more than a prophet. And here's the cool thing. And it doesn't matter what tribe they were from. You know, I'm from Naphtali. Chime, he's from Manasseh. But it doesn't matter if they're from Gad or they're from Dan. It doesn't matter if they're from Reuben. It doesn't matter what tribe from Israel they're from. The experience is the same. The moment they see Jesus, the moment they experience this Savior, something enters into their heart and they're never the same again. It's like they have the same kind of joy that I have. This is why, boy, if you've not met him yet, let me tell you something, you've got to meet him. This is why his name is getting famous all over Israel. Everywhere you go, people are knowing the name of Jesus. Not because he has some great advertising agency, not because he's part of some great family, but because he's God, and when people encounter him, they realize it. And when they encounter him and they realize it and they accept him, he says, just follow me. And this joy enters into their hearts. And believe me, I want every person that I come in contact with to be able to experience the joy that can only come through Jesus. Sad thing is there are people who encounter Jesus, and while they may have had joy a while ago, they lose that joy. Because you see, the joy that God brings into our life is not meant to be something that's just to hold on with me and the shepherds. It's not just meant to be held on to just the close few of us. That joy that God brings into our life is intended to share with other people. Could you imagine people going through life without hearing the joyful message that a Savior has been born? And that now all of Israel has the hope that it did not have before Jesus coming? Everything in the Pentateuch and the writings of the prophets and the historical books and in the Psalms all pointed toward this moment that I had the chance to experience, that I hope that every one of you get the chance to experience. You see, that kind of joy, that kind of experience is intended to be passed along. What I so love about what I do, especially in this time of the year, is to be able to tell people about the God of the universe coming and being born of a baby. Who doesn't like a baby? I mean, even baby sheep are cute. Easy to accept. You see, God is a God that is easy to accept. Why wouldn't everyone want to accept him? That doesn't really work in my brain. I don't understand. But there are people who won't. But that's okay. That's not going to stop me. Because the joy that I experienced on that day that I looked at this baby Jesus, it overwhelms me. When I sit out and I look at the stars now at night, I can't help but praise the creator of those stars. Because I know that one day now I get to be with him. That I get to enjoy all of eternity with him. And that the things that I do in this life, they're not done in vain. They're not done just to get up and to go out and to take care of these sheep and then go back to you know, find my rest and get up and go take care of the sheep again. No, not anymore. Now, while I do that, I can live for so much more. And that's the great thing about this God of Israel, is that the God of Israel, really from the very beginning, you go all the way back to Adam and Eve, and you look at Abraham and Isaac, and you'll even look at Noah, and you look at every person that ever started following and going after this God. He made their lives so much more. Now I know that as a shepherd, my life can be so much more. Yeah, I'm not a guy that gets to wear the fancy clothes as the Pharisees or the Sadducees. And I may not be as learned as them. If we were to sit down and talk the law, I'm not going to be able to, you know, go blow to blow with them. They just know it better than I do. But here's what I know. I can't explain it. I can't sit down and talk them into it. I can just tell them that heaven appeared to me. Heaven came to me. And they may try to think I'm crazy. And you know, listen. I'm a shepherd. I know those looks. I mean, you probably know those looks. They roll their eyes, you know, kind of like that. They kind of whatever, pass you off. I know those looks. And yeah, I still get these looks. But listen, nobody can argue with this experience that I had. And the greatest experience that I had was not seeing those angels. The greatest experience that I saw was being able to see Jesus. Being able to see God in human form. I heard, because it's obviously been a few years since then, that Jesus, he's just kind of just now come upon the scene, and he's telling people that if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I don't know about you, when I look at those stars, And I look at just the vastness of that space out there. It's hard to imagine the God of the universe being contained in a baby. And I've got to think that for those angels that came, especially when the whole host of them came and began to say with loud voices, "Glory to God in the highest," I've got to think that they saw how tremendous, how great of a miracle it is to take that big old God that is everywhere and bring him into this little baby. That must be an incredible thing. But let me tell you something. From what I'm hearing, that God's not staying in that little baby. That Jesus, he's going about, I haven't got to see this, but this is just what I've heard. It's like, you know, demons are fleeing. That people that can't walk, they're able to walk. And I even heard that he actually took some stuff off the ground and spit in it and put on some guy's eyes and he was able to see. Imagine that. Because I don't think that God that is inside of him can be contained just inside of a person. It's got to get out. The only way I know he gets out of me is by telling people like you that this God, he'll meet you where he's at, and he wants you to come where he's at. Why? So he can give you this incredible gift of joy. And so as you move forward in these next number of days, it's been my prayer that you experience the joy that can only come from the God of the universe. God wants you to live every day with a joy that is so full that you can't contain it. And the moment that you find that you can contain it, that you can go about life acting like that joy is not even in there anymore, maybe, just maybe, God is going to send someone from heaven to you saying, "Listen, you got to go find him again. You got to go after him again." Now, you won't find him in a manger today. But if you go after Jesus, you'll find Jesus. I know it. Because Jesus wants to be found. And when you find Jesus again, allow that joy to begin to grow. So that when you meet the most mean, low-down, nasty, evil person in the world, they look at you and you drive them absolutely crazy with the joy that you're just so full of. Because you see, God's not running from you. We just get like we were doing about life, and God comes and finds us again. I know I'm just a shepherd. I know that all of Israel looks at me and thinks that I'm nothing. And you know what? Why God would come to a sinner like me, I don't understand. But if God would come to a stinky, smelly, workaholic shepherd who couldn't be a fisherman, surely he can come to you. Because, you know, you people look like civilized, good Jewish people. So if he'd come to me, I know he would come to you. And my prayer for you is that if you met Jesus a while ago and that joy can now be contained, let God grow in you to the place it can't be contained again. Go to that place where you first met Jesus. Whenever I think my circumstances are bad, I go back to that moment that I saw Jesus. And everything else seems to be okay. Why? Because the God of the universe, he came to me. The God of the universe came to me. Let that sink in. The God of the universe came to me. Do you know what that means? He'll come to you as well. Don't listen to the people's voices that tell you you're no good. Don't listen to people's voices that tell you that you're not like them, you're not as good as them. Because let me tell you something, he came to me. And if he would come to me just a shepherd, then surely he would come to you. Because God is no respecter of persons. It didn't matter that I was from the tribe of Naphtali. Why didn't he come to the tribe of Levi first? I mean, they're the ones with the right genes. They're the ones that get to minister to before the Lord. But he didn't. He came to a shepherd from the tribe of Naphtali. Most people have even forgotten that Naphtali was a tribe of Judah, a tribe of Israel. But not God. He came to me. So let me encourage you to let God come to you. Would you bow your heads as Fernando comes and leads us in prayer?
Amen. Father God, I thank you, dear Lord. You're such an awesome God. Because where we stood back in this world, Father God, that we were struggling, we were hurting, you saw us and you came to us and you met us right where we were, Father God. And as we walk, Father God, in your presence and in your power, Father God, we ask you, dear Lord, that with the thing that we're missing, Father God, that we struggle with every day, that joy that we struggle with every day because of all the heaviness and all the things that we deal with, Father God, we ask you, Father God, that we receive that joy from you, Father God. That joy will bring us to another level, Father God. That joy will bring us to go out to this world and bring that joy to those who are hurting and in pain, Father God. We thank you for what you have done and what you continuously do in our lives, Father God. You're so awesome, Father God, because where I came from, I never thought I'd see that joy. But you allowed me to see it, and I thank you for that, my God, in Jesus' name. Amen.